tied to different characters in the Christmas story. The first week we talked about the Magi, and we talked about what it means to magnify. And we said that the gifts that they gave magnified God, and that it drew attention by calling to our attention some things about God. The gifts of gold, that he was a king. The gifts of frankincense were gifts of worship, that he was to be worshipped. And the gifts of myrrh regarding death, understanding that he would be our Savior as well. And so it was a gift of worship, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh that they offered that magnified Jesus. Last week we talked about the shepherds, and we talked about how the shepherds were given a message. And then following their message, they had to seek. They were told the Savior and the Son of God was born in Bethlehem, but they had to go and look for themselves. And once discovering that, they worshiped God for all that they had seen, but they must start with the act of seeking God and worship. Today I want to talk about another act of worship that applies to a lot of different places, but in this particular place, it's the story of Joseph, and it applies to a surrender of his reputation. Many of you know the story of Joseph, so I don't really need to go into great detail to start the sermon out. What I want to talk to you about is the fact that as I was growing up in a Christian home, my parents taught me three things that specifically were in relation to our reputation as Christians. The first thing that they taught me was this. They said that you are to protect your reputation because it's tied to your Christian witness. You've probably heard something like that before. The things that we say and the things that we do, the reputation that we develop affects our ability to convey the message of Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul goes into a long and very complicated conversation around some of those issues and how that ties into our life. The second thing that my parents taught me was this. God's ways are good, and if you follow them, it will help to keep your reputation, which is largely true. I think I heard them say that if you keep it, it will always protect your reputation. That is not always true. Because God will sometimes lead you to do things that maybe don't contribute to the reputation that you want. I'll talk about that more in a minute. The third thing is this. I was taught that we were not to be involved in things that had the appearance of evil. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, our computer is not working this morning, so we're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way, look in our Bibles. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, in the King James, which is what I was raised on, some of you remember the King James. Do you remember those days? In the King James, it says that we are to avoid the appearance of evil. The more modern translations that rely upon some more recent discoveries of scrolls and texts and interpretations of words, for example, the NIV, the NASB, and other more modern translations say this, avoid all forms of evil. Now, there's a big difference between avoiding the appearance of evil and avoiding all forms of evil. A big difference. And so, what I grew up with was this idea, which I still think is true. We're to watch our reputation because of the implications it has. But as human beings living in the culture that we live in today, the challenge that you and I oftentimes face is that we move from watching our reputation to managing our reputation. And that really is a different kind of thing, isn't it? In our story this morning in Scripture, Joseph is called to surrender his reputation, as is Mary. Understanding that that is actually going to be an act of worship in response to what God is asking them to do. And in part, I relate to the story because of my own family. My parents, 30 years ago, almost to the year and day, brought home with them a little boy whose background was part black and part Mexican. 30 years ago, that was not widely accepted. And so I was 16 at the time, And we would walk through the mall, and people would, you could see people talking about my family because of this baby we had. In fact, they would say things to my parents which were downright rude. And my parents believed that they'd been called to do something for God, but it affected their reputation in a way that most would consider not good. And so when I read the scripture, I think sometimes about the stand that my parents took early on in their lives regarding these kinds of things. In Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, this is what the scripture says. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Let me just pause here for a second. The scripture says that she was pledged to be with Joseph. Now, in today's world, engagement is one of those things where someone basically says, I would like to marry you. And there's a kind of a commitment made. Someone goes out and purchases a pretty substantial rock and gives it to the girl that he loves, and she takes it and puts it on her finger. And that's kind of saying, I care about you enough that I'm willing to show you that I love you and that I'm investing in this relationship, and that this is a symbol of the love that I have for you and the fact that I hope that this lasts forever. That doesn't mean you're married. Having a rock on your finger doesn't mean that you're married. In Jesus' day and time, the pledge process was much more formal. As a matter of fact, we'll see in a minute that Joseph was considering divorcing her. Because they were so close to being married, they weren't 100% married, but they were so close to being married that he'd have to divorce her to stop it. That's far different than asking for the ring back, if he got the guts, and calling the whole thing off, right? But that's where they stood. The point of this is, of course, that not only were they not husband and wife yet in God's eyes fully, but that they had not been together yet sexually, which is part of the point that the story is trying to make. It says, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit, which means most likely that she was starting to show. There's that place where you're just like, is she, you know, did she gain some extra or is it? And there comes to be that place where you're like, she's pregnant. And it may very well be that that's what it was, that she found out. It could have been a personal exploration. I mean, discovery. It could have also just been something in public. Because Joseph, her husband, it says, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, this is, to me, a very powerful statement. And the reason why it's powerful is because Joseph was a person, not just a character in a story. So imagine for just a second that you are engaged to someone that you really deeply love, that you want to spend the rest of your life with, and then you come home and find out that they're pregnant, and it's not your baby. How do you feel? I mean, there's a flood of emotions, isn't there? There's a sense of betrayal. There's a sense of, how could this happen? There's all these emotions. There's, this is not the person that I thought you were. And all of these things that happen. There's the whole picture of your future and what you think it's going to be like together. There's somehow this reflects upon you because they went to somebody else. That you were not good enough in some way. All of these things were happening, and yet the scripture says, despite all of that, Joseph was a righteous man, and so he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. Now, why? Why didn't he want to expose her to public disgrace? Why? He loved her. He still cared about her. Have you ever been in a situation that somebody you really care about hurts you? And so his response, he had an option. He had a choice. He could have stood up to the whole world and said, look what she did. And instead, his choice was to quietly say, we're just going to end this and go our separate ways. And so the Bible says, when he made that decision, But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, I want you to notice how often God comes to men in dreams and women in the middle of the day. I'm not kidding. Think about it for just a minute. How many times that happens? How many times the men are asleep and God comes to them? What time of day was it when God showed up with the shepherds? Huh? It was nighttime. Yes. You just think about that for a little while. You see what, you know, I'm not going to say any more about that. That's the honest to goodness truth. He had a dream and an angel appeared to him. And the angel said, the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him you are to give him the name Jesus. You are to name this boy, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you believe it from anybody but an angel or God himself if somebody came to you and said, this girl is not pregnant from a man? It would take an angel or God, wouldn't it? And even then, if it's a dream and you wake up, how many of you awaken from a dream and you're just like, was that real? Did that really happen? Isn't this true? So here's Joseph, and he had this dream, and in the dream, an angel told him that what had happened was from God. God was about this. Now, Joseph had already faced this challenge. He, being faithful to the law, was committed to doing it God's way. He did not want to expose her to public disgrace, so he decided to divorce her quietly. In doing so, he would stand up and say, I had nothing to do with this. But the moment that he decided to marry her, what was the world going to believe? He's the father. So even though he had nothing to do with this, Joseph did not stand up and say, look, I got nothing to do with this. This is not mine, but I'm going to marry the girl anyway. He didn't do that. The Bible says, it's so awesome. Well, the angel continued to say, this all took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. The virgin shall be with a child and shall give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. By agreeing to go through with this marriage to Mary, by agreeing to God's plan, everyone was going to say stuff about him that wasn't true. Who set up this situation? Huh? God did. God set up this situation. And God said, you can either be part of my plan or you can hold on to your reputation. Which is it? Which is it? That doesn't really seem fair, does it? It doesn't seem fair that God would do that. And on top of that, this child would be different. How challenging is it to raise the Son of God as your child? Are you allowed to put him in timeout? I don't know about you, but my children try and get my other children in trouble from time to time. They'll come to me, true or not, and say, so-and-so hit me, so-and-so did this, so-and-so. Have you ever faced this? So what do you do when they come and say, Jesus hit me? Does Jesus just have a get-out-of-jail-free card? I mean, what do you do? And then Jesus grows up, and look at what he did in his ministry. He broke all kinds of religious laws. He walked into the temple and turned over the tables. Do you think that got him to his mama? He walked into a town where there was a woman who was known to be with seven other men, alone in the middle of the day, talking to her at a well. What was everyone else thinking in this moment, who was looking out their window at the prophet Jesus speaking to a woman known to be with seven other men? What were they thinking? His disciples flew in saying, "You can't do this. You cannot do this. Don't you realize who you are? Don't you realize what people think of you?" What did Jesus say? Her eternal destiny is more important than my reputation. Wow. I mean, that's just... He had a guy come to him, and Jesus said, "Come and follow me." And the guy says, "Okay, here, I just one thing. I got to go home and bury my dad." And Jesus, in a very sensitive moment, said, "Let the dead bury the dead. Come follow me." He said, "Don't you realize there's a window of life that's happening here, and you have an opportunity to step through. It will affect your eternity. Now's the time. Come and do it now. Your father's already dead. You can't help him." Man, can you imagine if a preacher said that? Jesus said it. Jesus spent time with the rich. He spent time with the poor. He spent time with the crazy demon-possessed. He spent time with the broken. When it came to feeding the 5,000, the disciples said it wouldn't be enough. They were concerned it would establish a precedent. Jesus said, "I don't care. What if they come back tomorrow and want to be fed again? I won't feed them." He was willing to allow all these things to happen in service to the kingdom. He was willing to have people question his motives, his source of power, his ways, his teaching, even his love. What he was not willing to do, oh man, the courage and the faith. What he was not willing to do was to care more about what people thought than God. That's what he refused to do. I wish I lived there. I don't. I believe that God will ask us to do things that seem unfair. We'll be asked to take hits for things we did not do. We'll be asked to love in places that are hard. We'll be misunderstood and people will not like us. We'll draw boundaries that people will not like. We will love people that other people think are unworthy. We'll be asked to put up with things that feel unjust in the name of love. We'll be asked to accept things that affect the deepest parts of our lives that we had nothing to do with. And if we're honest with ourselves, there are moments when our heart tells us that we should be sharing our faith with another person, and the question inside of our head is not what will God think, but what will that person think that I'm getting religious on them? Or if we had an altar call, the question is not how will God feel if I come to his altar? The question is what will other people say if I walk up that aisle and kneel down here? Or if we give extravagantly, what will other people expect of me? Or for the student in school who wants to remain pure, but it's not cool to be pure, what will other people say if I follow what God wants me to do? Or to speak a moment in truth when it won't be popular? When Joseph agreed to take Mary home as his wife, he effectively said, "I'm going to surrender my reputation to you." That seems really hard to us, except that next week, because we would often think that the woman suffered most of her reputation, I think God, while that's true about Mary, God also asked Mary to surrender something even greater, and that was her future. We're going to talk about that next week. But you and I must wrestle in a day and time where we're surrounded by media, we're surrounded by the temptation of people around us managing their reputation. to ask the question, what matters more to us, what God thinks or what other people think? And it takes us a while to wrestle this to the ground, I do believe. Because we have built into us the need for community. And because we have built into us the need for a community, we have built into us the need to care about what other people think. It's built into us because it's part of community. The wrestling is not that we have the desire to care about what other people think. The wrestling is that we care more about that than what God thinks. And so for Joseph, an act of worship in response to the Christmas story was when God showed up and said, here's what I'd like you to do. Here's what I need you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Take Mary home as your wife. The Bible says when he woke up, he did just that. Let's pray. God, I need to confess to you that there are times when I am more concerned about my reputation than what you think. I don't like that about me sometimes. And I suspect that all of us feel that way from time to time. It is part of an act of worship on our behalf to you to say, we'll let go of that. Help us to be about that, God. Jesus modeled it for us. Joseph showed us. We might have to take time to wrestle this one to the ground, but enable us to be people who care about those around us and care even more about you. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you do for us. In your precious name we pray. Amen.